Hello, and welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, the podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and as usual, I am joined on the virtual front porch by my colleague in neighboring, Adam Barlow Thompson.
Hey, good neighbors. Welcome to The Neighbor Next Door. We are glad you're with us this week for what we nostalgically call fundraising week here at the neighboring movement. And we should clarify, because fundraising for us may not look like other fundraising for groups. We really just mean we really intentionally overshare our stories that have happened over the last year and what we're going to do next year. And really, we just, if you want to participate in that, you can. And if you want to participate in it financially, then you also can.
Well, let's jump in. And as you mentioned, it's really about storytelling. As I was thinking about, we're coming to the end of 2020. Obviously an understatement to talk about how hard and how strange this year has been. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to try to name up front, like, part of the strangeness is that in the midst of so much pain and suffering and loss, there have also been a lot of glimmers of hope and signs of a neighboring movement emerging in 2020, partly because of the pandemic. And so in some ways, I think the story that we're going to tell is actually like it may come across a bit too joyful because of 2020, but bearing in mind, like, we're pulling out the key highlights from the year.
Right. Yeah. And we'll do another episode that's like all of the downers that we experienced in 2020. Maybe we'll make more money off of that one.
Well, we might. I could probably write a song for that. That's for sure. So, Adam.
Yes.
Let's capture just a couple of the key highlights from 2020, and some good things, signs of the neighboring movement emerging.
Yeah. So, there has been so many things. I think we've been working at this. We started in 2015. We've been working at it for a while now. And I think one of the things that happened is that because in 2020 we all went online, it in some ways became easier to gather all of kind of the people who we've reached over the last 5 years into a singular space and see that momentum happening all at once. And so I think that weaves in and out of the different things we're going to share. But the first one is, we in January, our city council and our county commission made our neighborhood plan, which we had spent almost a year working on. It became a legal document directing us and our community, our neighborhood, for hopefully the next 10 to 15 years. And we actually have plans to do that, start taking initiative on that right away. Some of those got a little delayed because of COVID, but the plan in itself is still intact and going strong.
Yeah. And it's very exciting, just my two cents on this, because it's a proactive plan. It's not just a plan about, here's what we're against, or here's what we want to keep out of the neighborhood. It is a plan about, here's where we want to grow. Here's the kinds of things that we want to see happening in the neighborhood. Yeah. And those components are a very asset-based perspective, in my opinion. And so that was exciting.
It definitely has our fingerprints on it. And you can see it in the fact that we've asked them to create easy steps that anybody in the neighborhood could do without having to raise $1 million before you go out and do it. So that was good. All right, you go ahead. Hit us with the next one, Matt.
Okay, next up would be the Good Neighbor Experiment, which is the curriculum that we have for churches to use to increase their neighborliness and engage their community in an asset-based approach. And we continued this year, not only to lead cohorts, but to recruit new churches to participate in that. It's part of largely part of our partnership with the United Methodist Health Ministry Fund here in Kansas. And I'm just encouraged the number of churches who are saying, you know, we don't want to go door to door witnessing, and we're not sure how to connect with our neighbors. And the way that the curriculum seems to really speak to them is really encouraging to me.
Right. It's another one of those pieces that we created because we felt that people were heading in this direction, and it's been confirmed by the amount of interest we've had in churches continuing to signing up for it. By the way, we're doing an online cohort in January. You can still sign up for it if you go check out our website and go to the Good Neighbor Experiment. So,
Yeah. So if you're a church leader, go check that out. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, now here's the one most out of left field. Tell us about the Kansas Animator Network.
We had no clue we were going to do this at the beginning of the year. And we had a friend at ruralorganizing.org give us a call and said, hey, we ended up with some funding that came available because a COVID plan got canceled, basically. And so they needed to figure out a way to do something in Kansas. And we said, okay, well, we'll figure something out. We recruited people across the state of Kansas to do a learning cohort that lasted 4 months. We met at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning for 4 months. I don't know why we scheduled it so early, but it was rough. That's just when people could meet. They learned about asset-based community development. They got to meet John McKnight. We had speakers from organizations and individuals across the state of Kansas who have an asset-based kind of approach to their work join us for those calls. And the group really came together in this like wonderfully cohesive way. They still chat with each other. We have a Facebook group that's still active. It's been wonderful to see them then engaging those concepts in their local community. And we're really excited that we get to continue that. So,
yeah. And, you know, we recorded a podcast about that, the Kansas Animator Network. And so if you're interested in hearing some of their voices and some of their stories and takeaways, it was a super fun episode to record.
It was. They were so jazzed about that being on the podcast and getting to share their stories. And that was really exciting. And yeah, again, special shout out to Matt Hildreth and ruralorganizing.org who helped make that possible.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. So then, you know, I'm kind of thinking about this in terms of the timeline, right? There was like the January stuff and then the you know, COVID and the cohorts kind of wrapped up online and we kicked off the Animator Network. And then like sequentially in my mind, like we're just kind of plugging along, getting to the end of summer into the fall. And then I mean, this strange thing happens where like then money started coming in.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, I can try to explain it a little bit, but it's not easy. You know, part of what happened in the neighborhood is that we had planned to roll out part of the neighborhood plan, which we are focusing on, which is social capital. We were going to do an 8 front door campaign, which would have been in the neighborhood and basically help neighbors get to know the people who live in the 8 front doors closest to their own. And that got delayed, but the city of Wichita helped us with some funding on that. Mm-hmm. We had the Kansas Animator Network. I got to present that to some funders who were very receptive and said, hey, we want to continue this. We'll give you some funding to continue it. And then there was this request for proposal about basically the Lilly Endowment put out this request for proposal for a grant they were giving out that was basically for exactly what we'd been doing in churches.
Yeah.
And we applied for that. We ended up getting it, which again is another episode a couple of weeks back if you want to go and hear more details about that. But yeah, in the last, like there was a stint there from, I think that we got the grant from the Rural Democracy Initiative for the Kansas Animators Network That one came, I think, in July,
mm-hmm.
right? And then,
yeah.
And then we, by the time September had ended, we had had all of these grants come in, and 2021 was becoming this very giant thing all of a sudden that we had not anticipated.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a component of this that I want to name is that it's allowing us to bring on some staff to work on these specific areas.
Yeah.
And so we're bringing my wife, Catherine Johnson, is coming back to the neighboring movement, and we'll be working with our Vista Sydney Rowe here in the neighborhood on the 8 Front Door project. We also recruited, and starting in January, Claire Gallegos, who will be the working on the Kansas Animator Network across Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly talented person. I just cannot wait to start working with Claire. And then Karen Rice Ratzliff, whom you've heard on the podcast as well, who is such a gifted facilitator and trainer.
Yeah.
And she's heading up the Good Neighbor Experiment development and that kind of expansion. And
yeah.
So just a dynamite team, folks doing really, really incredible work. And yeah, so yeah. All of that is like coming together.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, I was telling some family about our growth this year, and I said, you know, I just remember, like, there's this distinct moment I remember when you and I were basically the only staff.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting in the office, and I said, Matt, we can't make payroll next month. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, what do we do? And you were like, I don't know. You had no good answers. And now we have by January, we will have this like amazing team of this, you know, most of them full-time staff,
mm-hmm.
ready to go in and kick some neighboring butt. And I just am so excited about it and feel like way more confident than I did when it was just me and you working part-time, not figuring anything out.
I mean, yeah, that's totally true. I cannot argue with you on that. But it's ironic that somehow you and I got us here. It's like, in spite of ourselves. That's the way John Prine would put it.
That's right.
So
riding on a rainbow here.
That's right. Okay, so then, I mean, that begs the question, what are we going to do in 2021? I mean, we've got this funding coming in, we're expanding our staff. Mm-hmm. So what's the cherry on top, Adam? What is the ask?
Yeah, so we've talked about the funding that's continuing some of the older programs that we're going to still do in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because we have this like much firmer foundation than we've ever had, we are getting ready to purchase a building that's right in the heart of our neighborhood. It's like, if you're in Wichita, you might know South Broadway is our main corridor, and Lincoln is east-west street that goes right through there. And this building sits right on that corner. And I have this vision of right now when people get off the main freeway by our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
they usually are turning north to go downtown, because downtown in Wichita is growing. There's lots of cool, hip things going on there.
True.
And every once in a while, somebody will get off and they'll accidentally turn south. And they'll be like, I clearly made a mistake. And
I'll paint the picture real quick, right? Because they're driving along and they're seeing empty buildings, empty lots,
right?
Hourly motels, just a snapshot, okay?
Right.
And they're thinking, wait, this is not downtown Wichita, okay?
No. Yeah. And I just have this vision of, I mean, this won't happen in a year. It may not happen in 10 years. But I have this vision of people turning into the neighborhood and saying, well, this isn't downtown, but maybe I'll stay here instead. Like, yes. This place has clearly got something cool and unique and interesting happening. And I really believe this building will be the anchor that starts to shift that thing around and turn us in that new direction. Yes. And so because it's centrally located, because it's a great building, because we already have partners who want to use the building with us, yes. There's just all of these things that go together that make it's a culmination of the neighborhood plan. It helps us gather people, bring them to Wichita. People from out of town who are doing the neighboring movement will be coming to Wichita to meet at this space. And yeah, I'm just like pretty pumped about it. And so that's the ask, is to help us buy this building. Mm-hmm. And you know what's even wilder, Matt?
Can it get more wild? Go ahead, tell
us. It can. Because of a very awesome and wonderful, generous donor, we've already raised $60,000 to purchase the building. Yes. And we think the whole purchase of the building will cost about $220,000. Mm-hmm. Next year, in 2021, we think we'll need $90,000 to cover the cost for the building in that calendar year. And we've already raised $60,000 of that. So we're asking our audience, not just podcast listeners, but kind of the whole neighboring movement audience, to help us with $30,000 to cover the rest of the cost for the purchase and some upgrades in the building that need to be done.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the ask.
That's the ask. So again, let's come full circle back to the very beginning of this podcast when you were like, so if this story speaks to you, if you want to be a part of this story, one way that you can be a part is to give and to support this work. That's not the only way. And for sure, if you are just out there getting to know your neighbors, you're a part of the movement.
And absolutely.
That's as good as gold.
So yeah, the way, if you want to participate more, you can go to neighboringmovement.org/2021. We've created a landing page that has more details about the things we're going to do next year. It's easy to access donation button there. And the way that we do donations, a lot of people are just making a one-time gift, and that's wonderful. We also have a lot of people who give monthly, and there's some options to do that. You can sign up to give monthly, and that really helps offset our cost in a kind of predictable way, which is really nice when it comes to doing budgets and stuff. And so we would love for you to participate in any level that you can. We have about 250 people who give to us on an annual basis, and that's we are so grateful for each and every one of those gifts and amazed that there's so many people who want to continue to support this work.
Well said. It's humbling to get to be a part and to be supported by such amazing folks.
All right.
Okay, well, there you have it. I hope as we come to the end that folks are feeling like, all right, okay, this is like, there's some good news, news in the world.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. And again, you can find out more about our work at our website, neighboringmovement.org. And thanks for listening. Until next time, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.